You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we start off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Portfolio Manager at Anchor Capital, Reko Nare, to take a look at some of the market movements throughout the day. Good evening, Reko Pantswe. Nice to speak to you again. What did Malume Jerome Powell have to say yesterday that moved the markets today?
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. It's really great to be on the show, and hello to your listeners. Obviously, we had last night's Fed interest rate policy decision. I think the decision itself, Jimmy, was largely in line with expectations in the sense that the Fed decided to keep the Fed's fund rate, held the decision to keep it at that 5.25 to 5% target band, if you will. I think, you know, there's some good to be taken from the decision itself. There's some good and there's some bad. I think on the positive side, it definitely did calm markets' fears that there would be future hikes. That was on the back of the recent PCE inflation number that we got out that showed a stickier inflation print. So markets going into that print were anticipating that maybe there may be just the risk of further hikes. But definitely from what Fed Chair Jerome Powell did say, it looks like those fears are largely calmed and abated. But on the negative side, you definitely had, Fed officials coming out and just saying, you know, the path to achieving that 2% inflation target is likely to be bumpy. And we are seeing that filter through. I already spoke about the PC inflation number that came out last week that was stickier at that 0.3% month-on-month number for the core inflation number. And then, of course, you have the rate cut that was expected in June by most market participants. So I think Fed Chair Jerome Powell definitely did come out and just say that that's way too optimistic. And generally, the commentary can be seen as hawkish by our international man of mystery. What we've seen with both what he said last night and further commentary that he said or that he brought out earlier in the month is that, you know, the restrictive policy still needs time to work through the economy, still needs time to work through the system. You are seeing the labor market remaining tight. And basically what he just said within that press conference that followed the decision was that, you know, the disinflationary dynamics that had been filtering through into the economy, those are beginning to stall. And he ended off the press conference just saying that there's a lack of further progress on inflation.
Lack of further progress on inflation. I like how we've gone from 7 rate hikes at the start of the year to maybe we might get 1 before the end of the year. How are markets digesting this if we look at equity markets? I know the US is doing fairly well, but what's the risk sentiment like for the rest of the world following what happened yesterday?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jimmy. So in the build-up towards yesterday's announcements, you saw U.S. stocks end lower on the last day of April. So that's specifically looking at Tuesday, and partly because of, you know, some disappointing earnings reports, because we're obviously right in the throes of first quarter 2024 earnings season. So that was one part of it. The other part of it was just kind of the general economic data that, or the slew of data that we've had out of the U.S. And then, of course, the general caution ahead of the decision. We also saw yields push higher, the two-year topping 5%. Yields are just basically a proxy for risk and the risk premium here, pushing higher, topping 5%. And then on the day itself, that's yesterday, a very volatile session offshore markets. You had offshore markets open stronger, and that was kind of reinforced by sort of that calming of further hikes. And then what we saw was that that stronger open was largely short-lived, and we ended the day flat to negative. You had the Dow Jones flat at about 0.23%. You had the S&P negative 0.3%, and you had the tech-heavy NASDAQ down 0.3%. And so far today, we've had a positive open, but, you know, it looks much like yesterday, sort of a positive open, a pop at the open, and then largely fizzling out. But at the open, we had the Dow Jones up 0.48%. We had the S&P 500 up 0.39%, and we had the tech-heavy NASDAQ up 0.74%. I think that could be a number of things. I think what you have seen today is you have seen a lot more positivity as far as earnings are concerned, a lot more upbeat, maybe a bit of bargain hunting going on in today's session.
Rego, let's stick in the US for a second. We'll come back to South Africa just now. Let's look at earnings. The companies that have been reporting, I mean, we saw tech stocks reporting. They've moved up the NASDAQ quite nicely. We saw that a lot of the guys, well, the banks kicked us off and they kind of didn't do as well as we thought they would. They still did fairly well. But I want to look at some of the standout companies for you guys when we look at the Q1 of 2024 earnings. What companies did you like?
Jimmy, that's a very good question. And I just maybe want to just take a step back and just say, you know, the conversations that we ourselves are having around the table, along with the conversations that we're having with our clients is, you know, we're really asking the question is, what's driving the outperformance that we've seen within the first quarter of 2024? You know, has it been, kind of the AI theme that has largely lifted the boat of developed market equities as a whole? Or has it been sort of the drag from, the macroeconomic backdrop along with, inflation and interest rates. So, you know, you've got a bit of a push and pull going on at the moment. But I just wanted to maybe take a step away from tech and say, you know, one of the ones that we've liked is L'Oreal. They released results closer to the end of last week. First quarter of 2024 results. What we like about L'Oreal, it's a quality compounder. It's the world's premier beauty company. Strong set of results, as I said. Revenue growth up 9.4%, surpassing the 6.5% that was expected. And it's just been a constant outperformer within that global beauty market. You know, it's outperformed the general global beauty market over the past 20 years. So that's one that we like. Obviously, they have cited some challenges that, you know, we've seen kind of across the board, if you will, as far as the kind of global market and first quarter 2024 earnings are concerned. And mostly just citing challenges around China. You know, what L'Oreal has said is that, you know, specifically out of mainland China, they've kind of really struggled. But within that, you know, they have shown kind of the ability to sort of outperform in the other various markets. The share price has rallied 4% since then. And we think that, you know, it's largely a company that's remained resilient despite the kind of recent challenges that it's faced.
Yeah, that 4% rally still puts it a little negative. I think it's still down about 1.5% year to date, but it is almost a 240 billion euro company in market cap. So certainly not a small company by any stretch of the imagination. Let's come back locally, Reko, for a second. I want to look at the developments from MTN. We are starting to get MTN trading statements from the smaller units. So MTN Ghana typically reports first, then Nigeria. Then we sort of get a consolidated view from the group. What do we know at this stage around the quarterlies from the smaller regions?
Just digging into the numbers, we're still digging into the numbers because those numbers came out today. But what we saw out of MTN Nigeria, total subscribers rather increasing by 1.3% to 77.7 million. Out of MTN Ghana, which is the third biggest division of MTN behind Nigeria, we saw mobile subscribers up 1.2% to 27.8 million. I think the big part that the market really liked was, you know, specifically around the active data subscribers and around that active mobile money. So active data subscribers increased by 15.3% and active mobile money users increased by 16.1%. What we saw is out of Nigeria itself, we saw the share price increase by 6.1% in Nigeria. And we've seen at a group level here in South Africa, we've seen the share up 2.5%. I think it's just another positive piece of data or numbers out of Nigeria. It makes a good case for the group as a whole, out of Nigeria and Ghana. I think the one fear that the market or shareholders did have was that there's a likelihood that MTN might need to go back to the market for a capital raise. But I think from what we're seeing and the numbers that we're seeing out, that's largely constructive, pushing the likelihood or the risk of a capital raise largely to the side. And I think what we're beginning to see is sentiment begin to change. So far what we've got out of MTN, both out of MTN Nigeria and out of MTN Ghana, has been largely constructive.
I wonder how we're going to make sense of the developments from Ghana's, from Nigeria's tax perspective. There's still that $1.8 billion tax bill that's sitting over MTN's heads in the Nigerian business, obviously. So they're still dealing with that, and we'll keep an eye on that and see how that goes. Reko, before I let you go, I want to look at Sasol. Share price for all resources in general were down on the day today, but Sasol's share price was down almost 4%. And we also got news from the Sasol stable that their CFO has resigned. I think it's about 2 years after joining the company. Any surprises there? Anything that's concerning there at this stage, or is it just something that's happened and we move on?
Yeah, Jimmy, I think we're still digesting it ourselves. I think, you know, the market definitely did not like that announcement that Sasol CFO Hanré Rossouw would be leaving or has resigned and will be leaving effective of October. As you said, you know, he's only held that position over the last 2 years, so not a long tenure. But yeah, the group share price as a whole has been under pressure, and that's specifically been since they released that trading update for the financial year and for the full year of 2024, basically just saying that, you know, it's likely to see kind of weaker numbers and weaker output and weaker performance for the full year of 2024. So the market or the share price already under pressure from that. And basically what we saw is we saw the share price down about 4% today, pushing the share price to about 128 Rand, which is as close as it can get to that 52-week low for Sasol.
I know I said I'd let you go, Reko, but you mentioned the Rand, and I can't let you go without looking at the Rand. 18 Rand 60, are we comfortable at that level going into elections? Are we seeing a bit more strength potentially coming through, or are we probably going to sit here until elections are done and then see how the Rand moves after that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Jimmy. So I think one of my colleagues, you know, he's aptly named the Rand the rattlesnake, just because of its volatility. And basically, what we're seeing is, you know, we definitely are seeing, you know, kind of volatility within our currency. I think it was the biggest impact that we saw today from that rate decision was on our currency. You know, largely starting off, you know, initially strengthening after the kind of the decision before weakening. You know, we saw the Rand start off at that kind of 18. Rand 60 level before strengthening to below kind of 18 Rand 50. Now it's back kind of closer towards 18 Rand 70. So you've seen kind of large swings within our currency, definitely a response to the kind of the risk sentiment that the hawkish commentary out of the Fed has caused. But of course, as you've correctly said, Jimmy, you've got election fears. And our perspective is one of saying, you know, we're likely to see a continued amount of pressure, continued swings within our currency as we near that 29 May date for elections.
And of course, traders typically around this time, the likes of Reko and his team do sell in May and go away. But we hope that isn't the case. We'll leave it at that for now. Thanks so much, Reko Panzo. Reko Panzo Nare, Portfolio Manager at Anchor Capital, joining me to reflect on the market movements as well as some thoughts around what could be driving some of the moves.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.